You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, the scripture reading today is in Psalms 104, verses 19 through 24. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth into his work, and to his labor, until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and time of fellowship. It's so wonderful, Lord, to have a day set aside in life that each week that we can praise you and sing praise to you, and we can study your word, and we can search out the difficult questions and find the correct answers. We pray, Father, that each heart need be met this morning. We pray that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to praise you ahead of time for what a wonderful thing you've wrought in us, the new man, the new creation, the born again life of Christ. And we praise you for that. May we honor you in all that we do and bring glory to him who loved us and gave his life for us. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to kind of bring our thinking together, what we've been trying to do these last few weeks, this is our third lesson, is I think what I've been trying to do is to kind of stir you up. And we saw that in the very first verse of Psalms 104. David writes in this psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, there's a reason why the soul needs to be activated and energized. Now, the lesson came upon me, I think we were in Seattle and I was reading the scriptures, and I notice that the Psalms, what an amazing collection. The Psalm speaks to the heart. If you're ever going through any time that's just kind of a burden or a dismay in life, the Psalms will lift you up. The Psalms will cheer you. You'll see so many times that not just David, but Solomon and others who contributed to these 150 chapters, you'll see them in every facet of life. And you'll see God in the past, and you'll see God in the future, and you'll see God in the present. And it's just an amazing, it speaks to the heart. Psalm speaks to the heart. Much like Proverbs. You know, if you're ever going through a really difficult time when you're trying to figure something out, or you're trying to understand what God's doing, and how is God doing it, Proverbs speaks to the mind. It's the soul. Psalm speaks to the emotional part of us, when we need that comfort, when we need to know to rejoice, when we're fearful that maybe the end of life is upon us. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Those kind of things. It speaks to that emotional. But Proverbs speaks to the soul. It speaks to the mind. The mind has questions. And Proverbs talks to us about the comparison of things and how God does it. Much like Ecclesiastes then talks to the spirit. And the things we need to know in our spirit. That there's nothing new under the sun. Don't get all rattled and riled up about this stuff. Everything's cool. Let's just start looking at what God has done and what you're supposed to do. But Psalms began to talk to me, and this trilogy in the middle of Psalms, not the very middle, but the middle of Psalms, 104, 105, and 106, I'm just kind of sharing with you why we're here and what we're doing in case there's a question about it. A couple of interruptions, you know, with missionary and Mother's Day and stuff like that. But the past month. This is a historical presentation of the beginning of the Bible to the captivity of Israel. And so basically what we're doing as we go through 104 and 105 and 106 is that we're just going through the Old Testament. We're just going to go through the Old Testament. We really fly after we get past 104, because 104 deals with creation. And rightfully so, we spend a lot of time with it. My goodness, I mean, you know, it went by so fast, maybe we ought to spend a lot of time with it. I mean, when God spoke it, it happened. God declared it, it was. It's an amazing thing. And those first 11 chapters go in 2,000 years, and we go, whoa, whew, what was that? We don't spend a lot of time with it. It's back there with that stuff, a lot of stories, and sometimes, well, they're just not really interesting. Maybe that's because they're so brief. The brevity of it just doesn't really capture our attention. As, you know, think of the life of Christ, 3 years, and we've got four books. And they're not small books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're not small books. The Gospels are large and long, and they're, but why not? I mean, it's the life of the Son of God here on earth. But that's why we're here in Psalms. That's why we're looking at this. And I really do want you to know that part of my purpose always is when I talk about the book, when I talk about our relationship with God, is to get fired up. I mean, I'm fired up about it. That doesn't mean you have to get fired up like I get fired up, but we need to get fired up. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He even says in Revelation to that church, don't be cold, don't be... I'd rather you be cold or you'd rather be hot than lukewarm. We just shouldn't be lukewarm about the Word of God. God's created us for a purpose. We looked at this last week. Go back over to Revelation and look at it. In Revelation chapter 4, God created us for a purpose. And it's so hard to keep this right there in the front of our mind. You know what I mean by the front of your mind? I one time went back to the bathroom and I was told by my plumber that, you know, at least once a month you ought to turn the hot water on, get it real hot, plug up the sink and let it fill up, and then go in and unplug it and let it drain. It'll kind of clean out all the gunk that's in the tube, you know, in the pipes under the sink. I was a plumber, you know. The plumber tells you, yeah, okay, got it. Let me tell you, if you ever do that, you better keep it in the forefront of your mind. You don't go out there and into the living room and think, I'll be back in a minute, and then all of a sudden something happens in the backyard, because that happened to me. I mean, I was pulling things out from underneath the cabinet. I was pulling the rug up. I was back there sucking the water out of the carpet. And, it's hard to keep things in the forefront of your mind, even when they're from God. I mean, they are. Look here in chapter 4, verse 11. Here is why God created all things. He says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You, me, everyone around you was created for the pleasure of God. They were created for His purpose. Amazing, amazing when you stop and think about that's why God created you. Now, there's something even more important that we learn as we, and I meant to talk about this last week, but I didn't get far enough in the lesson, so I'm going to share it with you this week. If you'll turn over to Ephesians, there is another reason that we ought to pay particularly mindful attention to why God has created us. In chapter 2, he talks about, verse 4, His mercies and how rich He is in His mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, has made us alive together with Christ. That's another creation, isn't it? Hello? Yeah, it's a new creation. It's the new you. It's a new you. Now, I don't know if I'm going to confess, I didn't talk to anybody last week about the Fellowship of the Mystery. And I know I asked you all to do it, but the occasion didn't arise. But another occasion arise, that poor person, for me to talk about one of the thoughts that I had this past week. I don't know if you all have these kind of these ideas, but either listening to the radio or reading the Bible, they come up. You know, I ask questions, you know, about what I've heard or what I've read. And I begin to start searching things out. And one of the things that came up was this idea of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Are we born-again believers indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Okay. Now, is that the new creation? Is that the inner man? Is that the new you? That's kind of the result. That was the response I got to asking that question. Are they the same thing? Or are they two different things? I thought that was a good question. I didn't get much of an answer. Now, I'm not going to give you my answer. I just I throw that out and let you think about it. Think about it. Is that new creation that has been created in Christ unto good works which He before ordained, is that the same thing as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? What is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? That's another good question. See, those things I'm haunted by, as the doctor would say on the Truth Project. And so I'm going to share that with you, and maybe you'll be haunted by it too. But I'm not. It's not for today's lesson. But it's an idea of what is God doing, and how do I fit into what He's doing. And there's only one way for me to find out. I have to go to the book. I have to study what God has to say. I have to find out what He has to say about that matter. Now, what I was talking about before I got on that rabbit trail was in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, God made us a new creation together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's another amazing thought. You know, men handle things like that with things like de jure and de facto. You've heard those terms, and Welch made those popular in his book, Dispensational Frontier. I really enjoy that. It's when I come to a person that's a Christian, and we have this responsibility to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's one of the books I say, you got to read this, Dispensational Frontier. This guy's really written some good stuff in it. It's a really good challenge on the Acts 28:28 position. God has raised us together in heavenly places in Christ. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. See how I get bogged down? I start thinking about verse 7. Here's what I want you to pay attention to. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Are you there? Ephesians 2:7? That in the ages to come. See, God didn't just create you for His purpose for just right now. He's got a purpose for you, what? In the ages to come. If that doesn't, like the guy says, if that doesn't light your fire, I don't know what will. That is just an amazing thought. It's just not now in this age, and we are in an age. It's in the ages to come. God has a purpose for you. He writes about this. Paul writes about it another time over in Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 8, he talks about bodily exercise. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You really need to stop right there and separate the temporal from the eternal. It's not like bodily exercise is no good at all. It does profit, and it profits, but in comparison, it profits a little. But in comparison to godliness, it pales in comparison, because godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that which is what? To come. Whoa! There's those ages again. We move out of this age into that next age. God has a purpose for you that transcends not just this moment, and not just tomorrow or next month or next year, but in the life to come. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Don't know what it is, but you are preparing for it right now. And now that's an amazing thought, isn't it? You're preparing for it right now. That's amazing. See, that's another thing. That if that doesn't light your fire, I don't know what will. That's what the soul... We need to get... Just like those two guys on the road to Emmaus. Come on back to Psalms 104. Those two guys on the road to Emmaus, you remember when they walked with the Lord and He opened up the Scriptures? He talked to them out of the prophets and the law, and He told them all the things that happened and all the things that were happening and all the things that were supposed to happen. And didn't they not say, did not our heart burn within us? We need to have heartburn. And there's only one cure for this kind of heartburn, and that is this book. It is coming back to this book, the special revelation of God, not the natural revelation and not our own mind and what we think, but what God has to say about it. And here David gets all excited in verse 2 of chapter 104. He says, "You covered yourself with light." You know, that's that Shekinah glory, and we talked about that. We talked about how marvelous it is that God did cover Himself with light. It's light that we can't even approach unto, that Paul writes to Timothy. But it is the light of God. Can you imagine what greatness there is behind the light? We understand light, but we'll never be able to understand God. Who He is. What His makeup is. What He's composed of. Well, we're made in the image of God. Well, maybe we'll have a chance to get to that later today as we go and look at day 4, 5, and 6. Of creation, like we looked at days 1, 2, and 3 last time. And verse 3, he says, verse 2, he goes on, "You not only covered yourself with light, you stretched out the heavens like a curtain." That's just, what an amazing thought that is. And see, David here, writing this Psalms, is talking about creation. He's talking about the first chapter or the first book of the Bible. He says in verse 3, "You laid the beams of His chambers in the waters. You made the clouds of His chariot. You walk upon the wings of the wind." I imagine David sitting there just like you and I. And I don't think David had some kind of special revelation of that time when he was creating things. I think David was sitting there and he looked up to the heavens and he saw these magnificent clouds and this light come through, and he thought about the light and he thought about the glory of God when he thought about the light, and he saw this beams of light coming through the clouds and they went right down to the water. Maybe he was sitting by the Sea of Galilee, or maybe he was over by the Mediterranean, but he saw these beams. You've seen them, right? Haven't you seen a day like that? Haven't you seen the beams come down and they're just strong and brilliant and they go right down into the horizon? But if you're out on the water, they go right into the water. And he's sitting there and he's going in verse 3, "You laid the beams of the chambers that are holding up the chambers. You laid these beams that I see holding up the heavens and the waters. And these clouds that help us discern and see and poetically approach how great You are. These clouds are Your chariots. And You walk on the wings of the wind." David was very much inspired. Verse 4, he says, "Your angels are spirits and Your ministers a flaming fire. You laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever." You think about it, you're on a continent. There are 7 continents out there, and you think about it, and they've got these. We were seeing the space mission, and they went up to the orbiting space station, and they looked back down at Earth, and those continents, not just for the last 20 years, but for the last 200, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years, they've never changed. They've never changed. Not once. How do they do that? How come they don't just float over to the next continent and bump up against it and then kind of float back? What are they set on? What are their foundations made of? And David just says here in verse 5, "You laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever." These foundations. Now that we have the Hubble telescope and we can see all the stars out there and we can see that the earth is just one little, as that wag said, a pale blue dot. And it's just a pale blue dot, but what an amazing pale blue dot it is that God created it and put it right where He put it, and He put people on it who could observe His creation and talk about it and manifest the glory of God. That earth is out there, and it keeps orbiting around that sun, and it has that moon that orbits around it, and they keep orbiting around in this galaxy, and this galaxy orbits around like these other galaxies, and it's just unfathomable, the majesty of God, the power of God. See, that's the kind of thing that invokes faith. That's the kind of thing that you don't understand, you can't explain. What an amazing moment when Hubble turned that telescope at that Mount Wilson Observatory to the heavens, and they opened that big thing up, and all of a sudden they saw all these spots that they'd never seen before. And they started studying it, and they began to realize, these are not solar systems. These are star systems, galaxies. Galaxies upon galaxies. We see all these stars, and they're just part of one galaxy, the Milky Way. 100 billion stars just in the Milky Way. And there's hundreds of billions of galaxies out there. They begin to go, oh, what a thought. Just happened. A little time, well, a lot of time, a little chance, a little matter, just happened, all came, you know, boom, big bang. Probably did happen, big bang. God spoke, bang, it was. It's an amazing thing. David here is sitting there and he's putting it together as best as he can. And he's explaining it and he says, oh, listen, soul, you need to start getting juiced up. You need to get revved up. You need to start turning some RPMs on this. God Almighty is great. Verse 1, see that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Hard to do that. Hard to keep in the forefront of your mind that God did all this. And also that He cares about you and you and you, you, me. He knows so much. He sent His Son to die for us, and His Son taught us so many things. And we wrestle with that at times. We do. We, particularly in this day and age, we have as our background for the 20th century, I'm sorry, 21st century, we have as our background a cultural and philosophical bias towards God. We really do. Because, see, we always look at something from this perspective. And this is because in the last 200 years, this perspective, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? It has become preeminent. It's called science. Science will tell us everything we need to know. Even about God. Even if He exists. And really, science moved out of the realm of science into the realm of philosophy and never should have happened. But we look at everything from a scientific perspective now. Whether it is or isn't or how it is. And the problem with science is that a lot of the things they try to tell us when they move into a philosophical area doesn't remain the same for 10 years. You know, when they can establish something and they can keep it established and proven for 2,000 years, and I'll begin to accept it as truth in the spiritual areas. David is looking, but he doesn't have the bias that we have. You know what bias he has? He has this bias. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the biggest challenge everybody has. If you can believe those first, what is it, 7 words? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 9. Is it 9? 9 or 10? 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, I should have counted that before I ever got up here. If you can start and believe that. Okay, believe the first 5. In the beginning, God created. If you can just start with the first 5 and believe that. It settles a whole lot of issues in life that you'll encounter. We don't like to do that. We don't like to deal with that. That causes friction. That causes problems. But if we stick with the Word of God and say, this is what God has said, who are we trying to please? God, not men. That's where we go astray, when we begin to start trying to please men. See, there's 2 choices. You can either choose the truth or you can choose the lie. David has chosen the truth. Life is full of decisions. God really wants to bring us to that point in life. That moment where we have to choose between Him or something else. You know, think of how many times He does that. Let's look at a couple. Okay? Let's do that. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And here Moses talking to these folks that they've been brought out of Egypt. And they're going into the promised land. Verse 19. God through Moses confronts the children of Israel. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Everybody there, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live forever. God brings him to that point of choice. So look at Joshua. Joshua leads him into the promised land and gets all the way to the end of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. In verse 15. Verse 15. Joshua 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't always mean it's a bed full of roses. No. Or a bowl full of cherries. It is never that. It is always a challenge to walk in the Lord. In verse 14, he gives us the answer. Back up one verse, he says, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. But if you can't choose that, you're going to have to make a choice between that or the other. You can't just play willy-nilly with this and say, well, I don't know. You know, I believe that in the beginning. I believe that. But, God just kind of started it and he set it all in motion. I don't really know, you know. I'm a deist. I'm an agnostic. You know, I kind of wonder and I think there is a God, but I'm trying to find out. No, God gives you and every single person a chance to choose. Remember Elijah, go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah there, he challenged the people of Israel on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? Been there, done that. Even wondered, golly, can God handle this? Can God work this out? I don't really care that he work it out the way I want it worked out because I'm the one who got me in this situation. So maybe my advice isn't good advice. Right? Maybe I just need to not worry about how he works it out and quit asking, can he work it out? And trust and believe and have faith that he will work it out. He can, and so that's where like, studying Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He wants us to stand bold and energized on His Word. He wants us to be energized from above with that power so that we're able to withstand the difficulties of life that come at us. But the answers only come from this book and trusting in Him and being comforted in our heart and in our soul and in our spirit, that He's going to take care of things. There's only really two choices. And He brings every... Life is full of decision making. And it seems like the first moment that we become able to make a decision, that life never quits being full of decisions that have to be made. And some are easy decisions, and some are hard. Some are really hard. But God is always there in those decisions. And we have to make a decision in relation to Him. Our decision making always has to be based on Him. That's what faith is always about. There's another one. Turn over to Jeremiah. And look what Jeremiah has to tell him. Jeremiah in chapter 21. Verse 8. Jeremiah 21:8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Sound familiar? There you go. Oh, I don't make those kind of decisions. Yes, you do. You make decisions every day that deal with the temporal and the eternal. The temporal and the eternal. And so many disciples followed Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. So many disciples followed Jesus until all of a sudden he began to teach things that were very hard. And many of his disciples would go, man, this is really hard to understand. And he goes, yeah. And from that point on, many of them left him and forsook him. In Matthew chapter 7, he gets to the crux of the matter. He started preaching the Sermon on the Mount and had the Beatitudes before him. And then in Matthew chapter 7, he kind of comes and brings it all to a conclusion in verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, he says, you got to enter in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. You got to enter in at the straight gate. For the wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be who go in that way. Because straight is the gate, or narrow is the gate. And hard is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Two choices, the straight gate or the broad way. Two gates, two ways, and two destinies wrapped up right there. And we have to make a choice. God won't settle with this lukewarm stuff. Either you be hot or you be cold. David's hot. Come on back to, I want to come to Genesis real quick because I want to go through days 4, 5, and 6. We looked at 1, 2, and 3, and he created light, and he created the firmament that separated the waters, and the firmament he called heaven. And the third day, you remember, what did he create? He created the earth and the sea, and he created all the plant life. All those herb-yielding trees, fruit-yielding trees. Everybody has seed after itself. And he brought it forth. In verse 13 of Genesis chapter 1, he says, the evening and the morning were the third day. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I also believe that that the earth became without form and void. That's another study, the gap theory and all that. But I really believe that when God created, after the destruction of what existed back then, I believe that this is how he did it. This is what he says. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I know exactly how it was all done. I don't. I wasn't there. There were a few people there. You remember in Job? You know, those stars, those morning stars, the angels sang for glory. On the fourth day, they wake up and they come back out. And God says, okay, guys, did you have a good night's sleep? They go, yeah, what's up today? He says, oh, man, this is fun. We're going to create all these celestial things. The sun, the moon, the stars. Verse 14, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. Wow, what's that all about? I don't know. God did it. What else did he do? Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, if you go back to our study, our lesson that we read this morning, the scripture begins with the moon. God gave the moon, and he created the moon. And this is the creation of that moon, and he created the moon for seasons. Now let's go back there and look at it. Psalms 104. We're going to come back to Genesis, but I want to show you There's a lot of ground here that we've read and we didn't look at, but God created all of these things, and David is certainly moved by it. In verse 19, he said, you know what? He appointed the moon for the seasons. He knew that because the moon was so orderly in how things happened, that every time the moon was in one period or another, waxing or waning, it was affecting things. It was affecting a lot of things. And it would move itself in the sky, and the sun did too. In verse 19, he says, he appointed the moon for the seasons, the sun knoweth its going down. Thou maketh darkness its night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. There is a darkness that God has made in order for the animals to come out, but there's also a time of darkness in our own time, our own periods, our own lives. And that's another thing. God didn't not know that it was going to happen. God is there overseeing it. That there's a purpose in it. Verse 21, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, then they all gather themselves together and lay themselves down in their dens. And man goes forth into his work, into his labor, into the evening. Come on back to Genesis. We have the creation of the animals. We have the purpose of man. We have the work of God demonstrated in these things. Chapter 1, verse 20. God now creates the animal life, that which fills the air and covers the earth and fills the sea. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowls that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great sea monsters and living creatures that move, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And now the sixth day. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God did it. God did it. Do you believe that? Those are the things that David has shown us in Psalms 104. Come on back to Psalms 104. That cause his soul to get stirred up, to get excited, to go back to the basics. To know that God did this. And that's why in chapter 4, in our last verse of our reading, verse 24, he says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. Period. No. Exclamation. Exclamation mark. Now, see, my mind's already gone to that. Do they have exclamations in Hebrew? I want to know now. I'm going to go find out. Or was that just put in there by the translator? There's something that's got to have caused that exclamation to have been. So, see, it's a never-ending process to learn about God. It's an amazing, and even through the challenges of life, whatever we're put, the problem we have is like we look at life through the wrong perspective. We're like the little grandma. The little grandma's always out there. She's dusting her house, and in a couple of hours, she's dusting it again. In a couple of hours, she's dusting it again, and you wonder, Grandma, why are you dusting the house? And then you look at her glasses and you take her glasses off and her glasses are so dusty. We got to look at it from God's perspective. We got to quit looking at it from our framework. I don't know what you're going through or what I'm going to go through or what I'm going through. I do know when I go through it. What I'm trying to say is that challenges in life, God's not abandoning you. God's not leaving you. But what He wants you to do is to get on board with Him, to have fellowship with Him. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We're not like the deist who said God just created everything and He created the natural and we can learn about Him from the natural. We've got the supernatural. We have divine revelation. We have this book. He's left us his book, and it tells us his story, and it explains everything to us. And that's David's perspective. That's how David says, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul." His perspective goes all the way back to Genesis, and he goes, God created this stuff. He clothed himself in light, in honor, and in majesty. And all of a sudden, he's fired up, and he doesn't just stop right there. You know, he says, my gosh, he just did it all. He laid the foundations of his chambers where he rides the wind. He created the foundations of the earth so that it's not moved forever. It stays right there. He's totally in charge. How manifold. They're just too numerous. That's, you know, manifold. Too numerous to count the works of his hand. We can't ever understand God, but we can know him. Isn't that the WOG? That's the WOG. Everybody's looking for the WOG. You look for the WOG, I look for the WOG, everybody's looking for the WOG. You know what the WOG is? It's the will of God. The will of God. Your next door neighbor is looking for the will of God. The person at work is looking for the will of God. Your son, your daughter, they're looking for the will of God. We all have that in us. God has put that in us. He's revealed himself. We need to always be back to this word and studying this word, the supernatural revelation of God. Let's pray. Father, we do marvel at all that you've done, and we're all in a hurry. We're all challenged by different things in life, and we don't take enough time to even reflect on the things that we do know about you. But we do occasionally, and we thank you for that. We thank you for those thoughts. We thank you for the life of Christ in us that has given us a new creation. We thank you for the relationship we have, that the Spirit will take the things of Christ and make them real and guide us into all truth, and that we now need to worship you in spirit and in truth. And all of this you've revealed to us, and we are beginning to grow in that. We want to be challenged, and we want to be pleasing, and we want to find approval in your sight. We want you to say, when this is all said and done, well done. Good job. We thank you, Father, for those moments of encouragement, those times when we harness ourselves and we bring our bodies under subjection, and we say, look, I need to get closer to the one who created me for his glory, and I need to glorify him. We thank you, Father, as we enjoy those moments. May we honor you in those moments with all that we do. May we glorify your Son. May we share his name. May we, even as our memory verse say, do the work of evangelist. God, we pray that when those moments come, we not shy away. We not make an excuse. We hold our tongue. We pray that we not do that. We pray, Father, that we be bold in our witness and strong in the power and the might that you've given to us. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.